So Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. And our second reading today comes from Mark, chapter 6, and we're starting at verse 45. So Mark, chapter 6, starting at verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he'd taken leave of them, he went up onto the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they'd crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much for reading, Marguerite. Good morning, everyone. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that as we look at your word now, that you would speak to us. Please open our eyes to see Jesus as he truly is. In his name we pray. Amen. Happy Lunar New Year to all of those who celebrate it. I joined the Tunbridge Wells Choral Society back in September. I know that some members of our church family here are in it as well. It's been really fun. We sing some lovely pieces like Bach's Christmas Oratorio and Stainer's Crucifixion. The choir members are also really friendly. They're very kind, and I've enjoyed getting to know them. In fact, one of the reasons I joined the choir was to get to know people so that I could then share the gospel with them. Some of the words that we sing are taken straight from the Bible. Let me read out just one line. You are the King of Israel, David's royal son, who comes in the name of the Lord, the King and Blessed One. So in the choir, we're singing that Jesus is God's promised king. And this is the heart of the gospel. And yet, very sadly, most of the choir may sing these words beautifully, but they don't recognize Jesus as Lord. They may see him as a good man, a respected teacher, and an excellent role model, but they do not acknowledge him as God. I'm sure we all have friends and family members who have had plenty of gospel inputs. Some of them may have grown up in Christian homes. They may have gone to church their whole lives. They may even have sat under faithful Bible teaching for decades. And yet, they still fail to recognize Jesus as he truly is. I realize that this can be a very sensitive topic. A few years ago, a Christian mum told me how one of her children was not following Jesus. In the middle of the conversation, she began to cry. It was heartbreaking. Her son was spiritually blind. Despite having gone to church his whole life, he did not recognize Jesus. But closer to home, for those of us who do believe in Jesus, we can still have our blind spots, can't we? We still often fail to recognize Jesus in his full glory. We often have such a small view of who Jesus is. And so this begs the question, how can those who are spiritually blind recognize Jesus as Lord? For the original readers of Mark's gospel, this would have been a pressing question as well. Mark records in his gospel that many people listened to Jesus' teaching. They saw his miracles, and yet most of them did not recognize Jesus as Lord. You may recall that in Mark chapter 3, the religious leaders sought to kill Jesus. Later on in the same chapter, Jesus' own family, his mother and his brothers, thought that Jesus was out of his mind. They thought he was crazy. And then in chapter 6, when Jesus comes to his hometown, to Nazareth, the people there refused to believe in him. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James? These people knew Jesus well. They had grown up together, and yet they were spiritually blind. And the original readers of Mark's gospel would have been surrounded by unbelieving friends and family. I think they would have been desperate to answer this question themselves. How can the spiritually blind recognize Jesus as Lord? Well, in today's passage, we find out how. So first of all, this our first heading, Jesus is the Lord God himself. Well, Mark wants us to recognize this, that Jesus really is the Lord God. We saw last week that Jesus fed the 5,000 with fish and bread. We were meant to recognize Jesus as God's shepherd king, as well as the Lord. Well, this week, Jesus shows us even more clearly that he is the Lord God himself. But Mark doesn't just tell us straight away. He slowly builds us up towards this high point. So look down with me to verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. That last sentence is really interesting. Jesus goes up alone on the mountain to pray. Does this remind you of someone in the Old Testament? Yes, it's Moses. After Moses flees to Midian at the beginning of Exodus, Moses goes up Mount Horeb alone. In fact, that was the first reading we just had. He sees a burning bush, and this is a very special moment because God is going to reveal his name to Moses. I am who I am. That is his name. And he tells Moses to say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Mark wants us to connect Jesus going up the mountain with Moses going up the mountain. He wants us to be excited about what Jesus is going to reveal about himself. This is going to be a really big moment. And so let's read on. Back in Mark chapter 6, verse 47. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he called to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. Let's just pause here for a moment. This is extraordinary. Jesus starts walking on the sea. Even a child knows that human beings cannot walk on water. This is a miracle. And to understand its significance, we need to refer to Exodus once again. This time, it's chapter 14, in the middle of the book. After leaving Egypt, the Israelites have reached the Red Sea. But the Egyptian army is hot on their heels. In order to rescue the Israelites, the Lord parts the Red Sea. The Israelites walk on the dry ground through the sea to reach the other side. But then when the Egyptians try to pursue them, the waters fall on them and they drown. This is how the Lord rescues the Israelites from their enemies. And so this is the significance of Jesus walking on water. We are meant to associate Jesus' miracle with the parting of the Red Sea. We're meant to infer that Jesus has the same power and the same authority as the Lord who parted the Red Sea. We're meant to see that Jesus is the same God as the God of the Exodus. Just one more Exodus reference before we move on. Did you notice the short phrase at the end of verse 48? Jesus meant to pass by them. In Exodus chapter 34, the Lord descends in a cloud to Moses on Mount Sinai, and he proclaims his name, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So Mark wants us to connect Jesus's walking on water with the proclamation of the Lord's name. And this makes total sense because Jesus is about to proclaim his own name to the disciples. And so do we see how Mark is building up towards this great moment of Jesus's revelation of who he is. The evidence is mounting. The tension is growing. Is Jesus really the great I am, the God of Exodus? Well, look down with me to verse 49. But when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. What Jesus says is immensely significant. This is the moment that we've been waiting for. Jesus confirms what we've been inferring so far. In verse 50, it is I should literally be translated as I am. This is it. Jesus has just proclaimed the Lord's name. He has taken the Lord's name upon himself. I am. I am who I am. This is also Jesus's own name. He is the Lord God himself. He is the same I am who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He is the same God who parted the Red Sea. And he is the same Lord who passed by Moses on Mount Sinai. Mark has arranged his material carefully. He wants his readers to be 100% sure that Jesus is the Lord God himself. Let's just dwell on the fact that Jesus is the Lord for a moment. This is a very significant revelation, isn't it? That Jesus is God. I thought it would be fun to say this in a few languages, some of the languages that we speak here. So in Cantonese, it's Yeso si ju. In Mandarin, it's Yesu shi ju. In Italian, Gesù è il Signore. In Russian, Jesus sam Gospod Bog. And Ukrainian, Jesus sam Panbo. I'm sorry if I got it wrong. But Jesus really is the Lord God. And this is relevant for all of us. But let's see how the disciples respond to Jesus. And this is our second point. We are spiritually blind to who Jesus is. Let's go back to verse 48. And Jesus saw that the disciples were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. The fourth watch of the night, we're told, is between 3 and 6 in the morning. So we are in the early hours of the morning. This is going to be really important. Verse 49, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. The disciples see Jesus walking on water, but they think that he is a ghost. They don't recognize him. And then verse 51, he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. The sighting of Jesus takes place during the early hours of the morning. It is still dark. The disciples, understandably, don't recognize Jesus. But I think there's something more going on. The fact that Mark includes verse 52 is troubling. The disciples did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. The word hardened is really interesting. Mark uses the same word to describe the Pharisees back in chapter 3. Jesus had grieved at their hardness of heart. And for those of us who know our Bibles well, it was Pharaoh's heart which was hardened in Exodus. So Mark is putting the disciples in the same category as the Pharisees and as Pharaoh. The disciples' failure to recognize Jesus is deeply distressing. They are spiritually blind. They lack understanding. Their hearts have been hardened. And this is really shocking, isn't it? The disciples were meant to be Jesus' closest followers. They were handpicked by him. They've heard his teaching loads, and they've seen so many of his miracles. In fact, only a few hours ago, they witnessed Jesus feeding the 5,000. And yet, they have failed to grasp who Jesus really is. And so the only conclusion that we can reach is that they were blind. They were spiritually blind. And unfortunately, the same is true for us. By nature, all of us, myself included, are spiritually blind. Even if we had been there to witness Jesus' miracles, we too would have ended up in the same boat as the disciples. This explains why people who have grown up in Christian homes fail to recognize Jesus as Lord. This explains why most of my fellow choir members do not see Jesus as God. They may be very kind. They may know the words of Handel's Messiah off by heart, but they do not see who Jesus is. The Walk Up Evangelism team will be heading out later today to talk about Jesus. In our experience, most people will give some recognition to Jesus. They won't dismiss him completely. Muslims, for example, will say that he was a prophet. Hindus will say that he was a teacher. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, they sometimes stand on the street in pairs, they will say that Jesus was created by God and is a lesser God. But all of these views are deficient. We have seen today that Jesus is nothing less than the Lord God himself, the one who made the heavens and the earth and who saved his people Israel from Egypt. Well, the reason why most people on the streets reject Jesus as God is because they are spiritually blind. Well, if we are blind, then how can any of us recognize Jesus as the Lord God? That was our opening question, and we come now to the answer in this final section. Our third and final point is this. We need spiritual sight to recognize Jesus as Lord. Look down with me to verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. So in this passage, we see that Jesus and his disciples managed to reach the shore of Gennesaret after a whole night of rowing, and then Jesus reaching them. They've now arrived at the shore and they've come off the boat. And it's really striking, isn't it, that the people of Gennesaret immediately recognized Jesus. Mark wants to contrast their response with the response of the disciples. The disciples had just witnessed Jesus feeding the 5,000. They've spent loads of time with Jesus, and yet they did not recognize Jesus. They thought he was a ghost. But here, in this passage, the people of Gennesaret immediately recognized him. Why is that? Why did they recognize Jesus straight away? Well, because they were able to see his face. It was still dark when Jesus was walking on water, But now when they reached the shore, it was the morning. The sun had come out. The people were able to see Jesus clearly. There was no mistaking who Jesus was. Once again, I think Mark is making a spiritual point here. What the disciples needed was spiritual sight. They needed to be able to see Jesus clearly. They needed the shining of God's light into their blind eyes. They needed the Holy Spirit to crack open their hardened hearts. Only then could they see Jesus in his full glory. And isn't this what Rico said to us yesterday? It is God who opens our blind eyes. It is God who makes us see Jesus Christ as Lord. It's interesting that Mark says in verse 55 that people began to bring the sick people on their beds to Jesus. He wants his readers to think of the paralyzed man back in chapter 2. Remember how his friends took him on his bed to Jesus? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Mark also says in verse 56 that as many as touched the fringe of the garment were made well. Again, he's referencing an earlier episode when the woman who had unstoppable bleeding came to Jesus and touched the fringe of his garment. Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Both the paralyzed man and the bleeding woman were commended for their faith in Jesus. They saw him as someone who had the authority to heal them. Well, the residents of Gennesaret share the same faith as these two. They come to Jesus in faith, and they too receive healing from him. This is precisely what the disciples needed. Because of their spiritual blindness, they did not have faith in Jesus. What they needed was the opening of their blind eyes so that they could come to Jesus and put their trust in him. Friends, this is what we need as well. We need spiritual sight. Our eyes need to be opened. Only then will we be able to see Jesus clearly. Only then will we be able to recognize him and to put our trust in him. And so let's be praying earnestly for our unbelieving friends who are spiritually blind. Let's ask the Lord Jesus to open their blind eyes. Let's implore the Holy Spirit to soften their hard hearts. It takes nothing less than a miracle to recognize Jesus and to trust in him. And for those of us who do trust Jesus as Lord, well, this passage is deeply humbling. We can only see Jesus clearly because God has opened our eyes. If not for his grace and mercy, we too would be in the dark. And so we have to give great thanks to God for opening our eyes, for giving us spiritual sight. But let's not just stop there. Let's pray for the Lord to open our eyes even more. We still have blind spots, don't we? We have such a small view of who Jesus is. We forget that he is the Lord God who rescued Israel, who parted the Red Sea. We so often fail to recognize Jesus in his full glory. And let's pray that we would have the same faith as the people of Gennesaret, that we would approach Jesus boldly, confidently, trusting that he will make us well. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for showing us today that you are the Lord God himself, the great I am, the same God who parted the Red Sea and rescued the Israelites. You really are the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Like Moses did at Mount Sinai, we bow down and we worship you. Please help us to see you more clearly. We long to behold you in your full glory. Help us to draw near to you in faith and make us well. In your powerful name we pray. Amen.